Good morning. This is just a work session where we don't take public input on Otter Tail Power Company's electric rate increase. It's case number PU-23-342. It's scheduled for 9:30. We have someone running a few minutes late. Expect they'll be in a matter of 5 or 10 minutes. So we're just going to put this on pause and come back in and begin the work session as soon as everyone is here, and so we don't have to go back and repeat things. So for anyone listening to the broadcast, just hang tight with us. This isn't going to be an hour delay or anything like that. We're talking a few minutes, but we'll just put everything on hold for right now. We stand in recess. Good morning. It is just turned 9:38, December 20th, 2024. We started this a few minutes ago and just put it on recess till everyone could be here. So, but to repeat, this is the Otter Tail Power Company rate case increase, case number PU-23-342. This is just a work session for commission and staff. No public input will be taken. All three commissioners are here. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Fedorchuk, do you?
I do not.
I'll turn it over to Commissioner Haugenhoffert, who's the portfolio holder.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. A draft order has been sent out, and so we'll kind of walk through that a little bit to see if anybody has any comments or so we can discuss it. But one of the things I first want to point out with this case is the timeline and some concerns I have with this case. And I just need to, I want to bring it forward and acknowledge the staff, too, on the extra work that they have done on this case because of some lack of transparency. We first received this case on November 2nd, 2023, with a request. Then on June 17th, Otter Tail filed a letter advising the commission of its intention to file an amendment. Then on July 3rd, they filed their amendment. And then also on the 6th, then with a rebuttal testimony requesting a different change in a rate increase. So I guess my point, what I'm trying to say is, in this case, I feel that there's been a lack of transparency and providing details of accurate numbers. And I know Otter Tail has done better in providing that, but this has caused a lot of staff time, and I want to acknowledge the staff on the extra work that they have done on trying to get this information in accurate numbers. And I think as of yesterday, we also received some additional information. So I just hope moving forward, there's more transparency and time on providing us accurate numbers. So with that being said, I look forward to moving forward and going through this rate case. I do want to acknowledge all the parties in the settlement agreement. I think now that we do have some accurate numbers and information, the order is detailed on that. My changes have been noted in the order, so we'll just kind of go through it and see if any of the commissioners have any changes or discussion on this. So I'll open it up.
Sherry, can you, or you both, can you mention what came in yesterday? I'm not up to speed on that.
I was just going to say, so I don't know that it's been docketed in the case yet. There was some kind of backup schedules for the detail of the specific reductions. You know, so during the hearing, they talked
stuff
through.
We requested.
Right. Right. So it was basically all of those kind of late file things.
All right.
So I think just due to everything that was going on yesterday, I don't think it's been made it to its docket and certainly hasn't made it to all of you yet. But
okay. But they did file that stuff that we'd asked.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Correct. So I just wanted to clarify that point. So
And it changed, it doesn't change anything in the order?
It does not. It was really just a confirmation. So the order, I've been working on this on and off for a few weeks, and I did clarify all of the numbers that I have in here with the company, and those kind of backup schedules were necessary for me to ensure that what we're speaking to is actually what happened, or what would happen if the commission does approve this.
So were you going to walk through this, or are you just ready for questions? Or
I guess I have a few things, but... Sure. I guess it's to your pleasure if you'd prefer me to kind of walk through the different items of the order, or if we can just do question and answer as well. I'm perfectly fine with
either. Why don't you walk through it? Okay. We have some time, and...
Sure. So, you know, the first couple of pages is really our standard, you know, preliminary statement, just walking through the procedural dates and things that happened and were filed. Starting on page 3, the findings of fact, really just walking through the details of the settlement that was filed. So the finding number 2, you know, has rate base, not base rates, but rate base set at $701.7 million. Which included adjustments for the North Dakota investment tax credits, which we talked about during the hearing, and the production tax credits that were moved to the renewable rider, and then the removal of short-term construction work in progress items. Item 3 walks through the details of the revenue requirement increase. So it is a total of 13.1 net increase to revenues, 13.1 million, and is an 8.328 million reduction from the $21.5 million increase. And this isn't the original, you know, to Commissioner Hugenhoff's point, the original request that we received from Otter Tail when this was filed was 17.3 million. Then in, what is it, July 3rd, it increased to 22.4 million. And then on November 6th, the company dropped it to 21.5. So we've had a number of different versions here. So I wanted to be clear about what our starting point was.
Victor, mm-hmm. When you talked about the settlement agreement about the 13.1 million,
mm-hmm.
or I have 6.18%.
Correct.
Okay, I thought you said 6.3.
I don't think I said the percentage.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, 13.1 is relative to the 21.5 November 6th request. So the walkthrough of that 8.328 million reduction starts with long-term incentive compensation was reduced by, actually it was eliminated to the tune of $1.2 million.
Thank you for adding the numbers here.
The what?
Thank you for adding the numbers right by each of the reductions.
Yeah, that was one of the big things. I know all of you pretty well at this point, so I know we like to see those things. So
yeah.
That was one of the things I spent a lot of time on to make sure that those were accurate
good
numbers. So yeah, long-term incentive, $1.2 million, 50% of several different categories of. So we have key performance plan, financial award, people leaders, the management plan, the presidential plan, totaled up to $454,000. 50% of corporate incentive costs was $137,000. Employee achievement awards for $96,000. Non-employee director restricted stock, $262,000. The ESSRP plan, or sorry, ESSRP costs at $267,000. The ERPP at $92,000. We all love acronyms.
People are hanging
so
up on our broadcast, right and left.
This is how we weed herp, out and get to this the true belief to people who are interested in what we're talking about here.
Diehards.
And 50% of investor relations costs for $100,000. The next one is that thing I spoke about earlier: the moving the North Dakota investment tax credit from base rates to the renewable rider, and then the Langdon. Production tax credits from the renewable rider to base rates with a true-up that will remain in the rider. That was $2.3 million. That was a pretty good-sized one. The rate case expense, passing, recovering that over 5 years rather than three, $143,000. Item K there, it's a couple of things combined. So it is the revenues for the five customers that are listed there, and also the related expenses that would go along with those changes, and that was a net of $679,000 reduction. That construction work in progress item that, again, we spoke about earlier, $77,000 reduction. And then the reduction to the ROE was worth $2.4 million. So, and then the rest of the points there, so number four is just kind of speaking about the ROE, 50 percentage points, or point, half a percentage point, or 50 basis points lower than the original requested ROE. We're using their actual capital structure that has 53.5% common equity. And we do have over earnings protection in place with sharing, where the customers would receive 70% of actual earnings in excess of a 10.2. So there's a what we refer to as a dead band between 10.1 and 10.2 ROE.
They keep all of that.
They keep all of that.
Which but is once, not a small one.
It's not. We've had bigger and smaller ones. Way back when I was doing this, it wasn't uncommon for us to have a 25 basis point dead band in some instances. So
what did they call it?
Dead band?
Dead band.
I don't know,
70-30 is... I've seen...
We've seen similar ones. I mean, we've had everything under the sun over the years. Yeah. So, I mean, we've had everything from 50-50 to 70-30 to... to asymmetrical, where customers get everything.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's really a question of balance, and honestly, it's just kind of how it works out in the end. I will say there is some benefit to having the company retain some portion of it, because then they do have a real incentive to conserve power, to control costs. Mm-hmm. And honestly, even the dead band, to a certain degree, is a similar incentive. The next item there covers the revenue apportionment between the customer classes. So I don't know if there's any of those in particular you want to talk about, but it just kind of walks through what each class would receive as a percentage increase. The first category there I don't find particularly helpful, but the relative increase ratio, and then the far right is how many millions is assigned to each customer class based on that percentage. Any questions on that chart?
Okay, I have a number of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologize in advance. I had another project for last night after everything finished here. And so I didn't go through this until I just got done a little bit ago. So usually I would have tried to bring some of these to you so you could be prepared for them, but I didn't get a chance. And some of them are trivial, but some of them are pretty important that I understand. So on the first page, on the appearances, I also had that Abby, I just wrote Abby B because I couldn't write fast enough, was appearing on behalf of the Midwest large energy consumers. And so did I just make a mistake on my notes, or was she appearing on behalf of both?
Nope.
Or, and then I also had a note about an Elizabeth Titus in the previous draft. So
yep.
I'm mixed up and wanted to just make sure this is correct.
Sure. So I'll kind of walk through both of those. So Richard Savickle is who appeared on behalf of Midwest large energy consumers. He was here in person. Abby Bridgerman is who was on the GoToMeeting representing Applied Digital. Now,
didn't Richard mention her too?
He did. So I think Elizabeth Titus was one of the attorneys representing Applied Digital kind of during the proceeding. But as far as the appearances, we're really talking about the hearing under the appearances section. So that's why the change from that Elizabeth Titus to Abby Bridgerman. And Richard was kind of acting almost like an attorney for both of them is how it kind of felt. But in the true answer,
this is right.
Correct.
That's all I want to know. Then, on the next page, okay, you added some new language for when Otter Tail changed their request, which I appreciate. Toward the bottom, this is the really trivial one, but I always got to try and look on some one of these. That second to the last paragraph, you had added the previous one, which is new language. It starts with on November 6th.
Yep.
So in the next one, you added also, because they both occur. So you don't need to capitalize the old one on anymore.
Oh, sure.
On the next page, and this is, you know, perhaps my biggest concern with the draft. When we get down there into number 3, but it goes back to those other additions too. I don't know what our tradition is as far as taking, you know, a rate case that has all this minutiae down to pennies and trying to make it somewhat readable. But I don't like that we're jumping back and forth in our order from carrying out like one decimal point of millions to 3 decimal point of millions. And then the math doesn't add up. And so just using this paragraph as an example, but I'm talking about the previous ones too. You know, if I'm someone who doesn't follow this stuff closely and I look at this and I say, they're getting 13.1 million, which is a decrease of 8.328 million from 21.5 million. No, not that's not the math.
Sure.
And so I feel like we should settle on 1 decimal point or 3 or 2 or something.
Sure. And we can, I think.
And when I say throughout, let me just say, I don't mean then like in number 3, all the things in hyphens, but I mean just as far as these numbers of what they were asking for.
Yep.
I would say 1 decimal point.
That and that's where my head would land as well, just with the understanding that there's going to be rounding.
Yeah.
That goes into it, and that's just a factor in everything we do. I mean, we're talking about large numbers in most instances. So
then the 20 in this paragraph 3, it would either be 21.4 million or it would be 8.4 million. But
yep.
I would like to see them rounded and use consistent decimal points.
Yep, and that's what I would say is probably we go with the 21.5 is the most correct, and then we would just kind of round 8.328 up a little bit more to 8.4. And then
okay. And then I jump to the next page, and way at the top there, number I.
Hmm?
The original draft had a different number than the 2.3 million. The 2.3 is correct?
Correct.
And K had a different number, too, and 679,000 is correct?
Yes. And it's really about the net. So number K, the original number, that it was a much larger number, like you said, it was in the millions. That was the revenue reduction. It didn't have the associated expense increase that went with it because there's an allocation impact to assuming higher customer sales. So this takes both of those into account in a single item.
And then L is just completely different. The number's different. Description of what it is. Can you explain that?
I don't recall what L was originally.
It was adjustments due to changes in jurisdictional allocator of almost 2.4 million.
Sure. So that was originally K was the positive and L was the negative. So if you look at the signs on that, on K, it was a negative 6 million. L was a positive 2.3 million or whatever that magic number was, but it was not a negative. It was a positive addition to the revenue requirement. So we netted not just those two numbers, but we went through the detail, and that was part of the frustration that Commissioner Haugenhoffen was speaking to, is to find what those actual impact numbers are and the correct one when netting all of that together was the 679,000. So what was originally L was eliminated and consolidated with K.
Okay.
And then L is the construction work in progress item. And originally we didn't have that on the list because it wasn't in the original charts that were submitted with the settlement. You know, I don't know if you recall, but there were the backup schedules, and I think we spoke about them at the hearing. They had listed the different categories of reductions that were agreed to as part of the settlement, and then a dollar amount associated with them. And that's where all of those original numbers had come from. But they weren't really totaling up to the $8.328 or $8.4 million reduction. So that's why you're seeing the difference.
Okay, and then the last, I just want to quibble with your description a little bit earlier, Sherry. When we do a recording and talk about a lack of transparency, I'm trying to figure out exactly what you mean, because that can reflect really poorly on this agency. I think the point was that the company kept changing the numbers that they were requesting, and so it's confusing to follow along, and I suppose we could be generous to them and say, well, it's a quickly evolving industry, and they kept changing it to try and make sure that when we got done with the rate case, it would be as accurate as possible. We could criticize them and say that, well, they couldn't make up their mind what they were requesting. But whatever the case may be, I'm wondering, what is the lack of transparency here? It kept changing, and it's confusing. But as far as I know, other than trade secret protected information or safety-related information on like siting cases, the stuff that comes in here is 100% transparent. If someone is willing to read thousands of pages of documents, it is out there and on the record. I don't feel that there's a lack of transparency here.
I'll let Victor first speak to it.
Sure. So I think what she was speaking to is the backup provided with that settlement agreement that I was referencing that, and I want to make sure I'm referencing the right thing here. The schedule 6 that was attached to the settlement agreement. So I thought I had the docket number on here, but I don't. So the settlement agreement that was filed immediately before the hearing that we had in this case. There was the settlement agreement itself that provided, you know, we're agreeing to these items or these reductions. And then it said the detail of that is further explained in these schedules that are attached to the back. So within schedule 6, they were quantifying the totals, and kind of, as I said earlier, that's where all of those numbers in our mm-hmm. order came from initially, but they just weren't totaling out. When I added all of these numbers together, they weren't adding up to anything near the $8.38 or $8.4 million that we were looking for. So that necessitated me kind of going back to not just Otter Tail, but I spoke to MLEC and to advocacy staff to figure out where are these, what are the correct numbers. So there was a little bit of frustration on that piece of it, and I think that's what the reference was to that.
But all of the numbers were public and available. It's just that the company's numbers didn't add up, and it took a bunch of extra homework. But whatever we had was transparent and available.
Absolutely. Yes, everything we have is...
The filing wrong, that's on the company, though. I just want to make sure that there's not an implication that we were not transparent.
Absolutely. That was not my reference at all.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, Chris.
I have no other questions, I think.
Okay.
Other than decimal points and stuff. I think it looks really good.
Those are good points. Couple other things I just want to touch on real quick in here. So page 5, we talk about the basic service charge or customer charge, depending on what you want to refer to it as, for the different classes of service. I am recalling back to the last Otter Tail Electric rate case in 2017, there was a concern about that. So I think this is pretty conservative increase from $14 to $17 for the customer charge for the residential class. And then we did add paragraph 9 there as well that spells out the increase to the average residential customer at about $8.43. And if memory serves, that's actually less than the interim that they're paying right now.
Oh, I missed one thing. Back on page 3, number 3. Hmm? When we, you know, get these numbers so that they are the same, are consistent, I'm struggling a little bit with the accuracy of, you know, including the math and comparing it to $21.5 million that was originally sought, because wouldn't technically what was originally sought be $4.2 million, $14.2 million?
Sure.
And so should it be the 20, should the 21.5 be 14.2, or should instead of originally sought, so it should be in the most recent request? Or I'm just a little concerned about the accuracy of saying that 21.5 is what was originally sought.
Yep, and that's actually a good point. I think it's the language that we're used to using, because generally most rate cases, that's what happens. We get the original, we go through the proceeding, and then there's the settlement. I think the easiest way to clean this up is just to delete the word originally, and then it simply reads from the $21.5 million increase sought by Otter Tail in its amended rebuttal.
I think.
Yep.
I like that.
That's a good point, though. I think I struggled with that a couple of times, and then I ended up turning my focus somewhere else. So.
Shiny.
And I did check in with Otter Tail as far as if we are willing to approve this by the end of this month, when they would implement the final rates. And it could be either February 1, but the more likely scenario is March 1 for when they would implement the new rates, because they will, if we issue this order on December 30th when we have the special meeting scheduled, they need to file a compliance rate schedules within 30 days and a refund plan. So
what's the difference between the interim rates and these proposed rates?
Dollar value?
Yeah, I don't recall.
Yeah, I have that here. Much. I'm just going to find the right binder that has this.
I don't think there's that much difference.
Really?
It's not huge, but there is a difference.
Because we're actually collecting them more than what they originally sought.
Interim was 14.214. So it's not quite a million higher than the final grant.
Okay. So the ratepayers will get a decrease in their bills.
Kind of. And actually, I have the monthly impact. So the monthly impact of interim on residential was $7.26, and we're estimating it at $8.43 for the final. So, you know, there's a shift. The way interim has to work is it has to be peanut butter spread on every class in the exact same percentage and manner.
Oh, of the old rates.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas so the new ones, since we're trying to get all the mm-hmm. classes to parity, there's some classes are impacted differently than other classes. So, and it's because of that the residential is going to be, you know, about a dollar a month higher than what their interim is.
Yeah.
But, again, that's average. And there's probably 5 average customers out there. The rest of them are lower usage or higher usage. But all that being said, I would anticipate there's some interim refund, even if it's a de minimis amount. But that's one of the other requirements of the order. The company has to file a plan for how that will be calculated and handled and handed back. But anyway, kind of getting back to that, so they have to file compliance rate schedules. So from the time we issue the order, it'll take them a period of time to finalize those compliance tariffs, which is basically every single tariff that they have, updating the amounts, the rates, and the dates. They file those. Advocacy staff reviews all of those to ensure that they will result in the specified increase that we're approving. Then they file a memorandum saying this works, or you have fixed this, whatever the case may be. Once they're satisfied, then we issue an order approving those. So,
I mean, I always think it's good to get the new stuff in place as quick as possible, but maybe there's no reason to rush that process. Seems like that should happen in a month, no?
It could, but I guess I'd rather have ensure we're allowing enough time for accuracy. Because,
yeah.
I mean, especially on an electric rate case, those compliance tariffs, I mean, it's probably 150 pages of tariffs with a lot of detailed rates that, you know, advocacy needs ample time to be able to review and calculate to make sure that this is actually what was intended by the settlement.
Is there a good question, Julie. Is there also... from the company standpoint, where they have to do programming and all that, as far as
there would be some
concern there
of that.
On delays?
There would be some of that, but it usually that hasn't been a problem in the past. They, if they're going to be allowed to collect more money, they'll pull out the stops and make it happen as in short order.
Well, but they aren't. They're going to be collecting less.
It's true.
Compared to the interim.
Yes.
Also in this case... If this gets approved on the 30th, you know, a Monday, and then I think most businesses and government agencies are probably less productive on the week of New Year's than on the average week. You know, it's a holiday and kind of an extended holiday for a lot of people. So, you know, they may not get a real fast start on.
Maybe other agencies, not this one. But
the process.
No. Well, I was going to
well,
say
we work way ahead. And so we end up being just fine.
Maybe people kick in their New Year's resolution early, a week ahead of time. Does anybody have anything else?
I don't
know. Okay. Well, I will make that cleanup, and we'll put this on the 30th.
Sounds good.
Okay.
I appreciate your extra work, Victor, and the PUD staff on this case. I know you did a lot of digging in and verification, so well done.
Thank you. The advocacy team does most of that
a
hard
Christmas
digging.
Christmas miracle, perhaps. We're actually finishing this case before the end of the year.
Quite honestly, this will be among the record time schedules for getting an order after a hearing. So I think we should all be proud of ourselves.
And kudos to you, because I know you started working on this order well in advance to meet some deadlines, timelines.
It's good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I have nothing further.
We're a great team.
Yes.
No doubt about it.
Amen.
Okay. With that, this work session is concluded. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.